This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, boat, motorcycle, RV. Well, guess what? They have a wide variety of insurance needs. We only just have, you know, let's face it, most of us don't just have an insurance need. We have multiple insurance needs. They handle them all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And by the way, they will do everything they can to save you money because customer service means everything to them. Guy that means everything to us is Neil Coolong. Sir, welcome.
You bet. As always, thanks for having me. I hope you guys are having a good day.
Well, let's start with this. There aren't many teams in the fourth quarter that can fumble on the one-yard line going in and win. How did the Steelers do this?
You know, it's the whole thing is so interesting to me because I know we made probably the same amount of content hay with Mason Rudolph last year for his three-game streak. But you look at Russell Wilson, the way that he's led the team, what he's brought them to, he fits in perfectly with the team that really over the last 4 years, perhaps the only good offensive trait they have consistently is their ability to win games late. That's about it. But that was a bad situation. You know, I didn't happen to look at what the win probability was at that point. But after a very nice drive, one that they needed to put together to get back into the game, a game that I felt Washington played really well, probably outplayed Pittsburgh in some ways. To fumble at the one like that. Now, you have a defense that can make a play on a quarterback, certainly. At least they had their opportunities. I personally think it should have been a safety. I thought T.J. Watt was pretty clearly held at a point that he could have gotten a hit on Jaden Daniels. I mean, usually that's a holding penalty, that's a safety. But for them to fight back, get the ball back, and have the offense do what it did to end the game, obviously you have the situation where you got to run the ball three times. You know that that's coming. It's tough to move against. But Cordarrelle Patterson, to get that from, what was it, third and nine, to ensure that you get that 4 or 5 yards necessary to have the option to try to draw the team offsides. Little stuff like that, that wins football games. And I think the Steelers are demonstrating week in and week out their ability to find somebody else who can be both the big star in the game, you know, Mike Williams coming from nowhere and basically like, this is the only route you know how to run with us. This is the only route you run on this play. So why don't you go get in there and go get it? And have Wilson put the most agonizingly perfect throw exactly where it needed to go. A ball that took, 12 seconds to return to the atmosphere and straight into Williams' hands. All these little things build up to a team that it's hard to bet in favor of them, but it's really hard to beat them, too. And it's almost like this is kind of accentuating the Steelers team we've watched over the last couple of years. You know, we've talked several times how it really the only attribute the Steelers had in some of those seasons was their ability to win games they shouldn't have won. They'd finish 9-7, 9-8. With bad rosters and 5 total upset miracle wins. And they did it week in and week out. I felt the Washington game was very similar to that. And my feeling was when Jalen Warren fumbled the 1 yard line, Washington got the ball back, immediately what I'm saying is that's game, and Washington doesn't have to do much to close this out. So because of that, I'm really excited to see how the Steelers are going to win this game, and they did.
And they figured out how to do it, and with Russell Wilson at quarterback and his ability to fall away and still be able to deliver a ball accurately is really a stunning attribute at any age, including this one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's almost just like he's built for this island of misfit toys offense that the Steelers have had over the last couple seasons, because he's at his best when it's imperfect. They're not on schedule a whole lot, though I will say we saw some pretty impressive stuff against Washington. It really seems like Arthur Smith has got this going in the direction that he would want it to go. I'm not sure we've really seen a streak like that recently in Pittsburgh, but Wilson is the straw that's stirring that drink. And a large part of that is, believe me, I'm the first one to laugh at him. He's kind of dorky. He's not your traditional professional athlete. He really, really wants that shining star type of guy persona to be reflected everywhere. I understand that part of it, but it dude doesn't quit. And it's not lip service. He's playing hard every single play. And honestly, I don't think they would have won the last couple games with Justin Fields or any other quarterback. And it's not an ability thing. It's just that Wilson, he doesn't give up. And he's under pressure. That's when he's going to make a play. He doesn't quit on what he's doing. And it really seems like the offense is believing that. You know, they're following him. For example, I don't know what he did with Broderick Jones, but you see it often enough. It really seems like Jones is rushing to help him up. Wilson's the first one he's going to after a touchdown is Jones. It really seems like there's something kind of developing between those two in terms of chemistry. And Jones hasn't played well in two consecutive games in his career. And he just did that. He might have just played his best game. So you're getting buy-in from everybody. And I think it's that when teams talk about needing to have character winning games, it's that ability, it's that kind of bond that you build that makes you not blink, as Mike Tomlin would say, late in games when you're down a bunch on the road, difficult situation to be in against a good opponent. They're playing their best football. They're making the plays they have to make. And with that, you're seeing a level of success that, frankly, I know the first half of the schedule wasn't very good, and nobody really would have thought going into the season that Washington was going to be much. Washington's a good football team. I don't care what anybody says. They played really well in large stretches of this game. This is one they're going to be kicking themselves over that they really should have won. Made a few more mistakes at the end, I think, than the Steelers did. But that's a playoff team. I wouldn't be surprised if they won a playoff game. They're really good. Yeah. For the Steelers to walk in and win that game, considering the adversity that they faced, certainly in the second half, very impressive. You have to, from a coach's perspective, you don't want to play the Steelers. I get that the Chiefs and the Bills and the Ravens are the tops of the AFC, but they don't want to play the Steelers. And I guess we'll find out this week how real the Steelers really are, and definitely a much more daunting task. But Baltimore knows what this Steelers team is capable of doing, and it's going to be a battle.
All right, so we all know that they put a lot into the offensive line in the offseason, and guys have been hurt. Overall, how has this group played?
I think they've been... I think at the end of the year, we'll look back on is kind of a, you show me your plan and I'll laugh. Because they had a much different group in mind, I think, overall.
Right.
And they put good pieces in place. They've had to play kind of a game of musical chairs with them. I don't think anybody expected C.J. McCollum to make starts this season. Frazier has been hurt. He's played like a rookie. Mason McCormick, I think, is maybe been the best game in and game out. Siamalu wasn't right the first game, maybe two, when he first came back, but he's back to a Pro Bowl level. And again, I've ripped on Broderick Jones enough. I feel like I owe him a good bit of credit. He's looked really good the last couple games. You might tap into the potential, the enormous amount of potential that kid has. You might really get dividends on that investment toward the end of the season. That's where it's kind of trending right now. To say nothing of the fact that there was a 2-year stretch, Steve, where I didn't rip on – 2-year stretch where I ripped on Dan Moore every single segment.
Yeah.
And you really can't do that anymore. He's legitimately one of the better left tackles in the NFL. That's not hyperbole. He's doing it game in and game out. He's doing it in both phases. How many penalties has he committed this year? One, maybe? I'm just saying that because I don't think it's zero. It's not very many. He's played very well. And this is a unit that has been patchwork. They've flipped guys in and out. It's becoming what you really hoped it could become starting last year with where they were building it. And the massive investment that they put into the team this past year, those guys getting thrust in to the spotlight early, they're getting excellent results. It's not the best they're going to be, though. And again, the main thing I would really tell people right now is you're happy with 7-2. That's great. They're not going to go 15-2 this season. I can guarantee you that. They've got a slobber knocker of a schedule the rest of the way. There's some really good teams in there that they're going to lock horns with. I don't think they're going to win all of those games. What I will say, though, is come week 15, week 16, if they stay healthy, you're going to be looking game to game at one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. They're growing to that level. This is what they were hoping to get from them. And I think it seems to be pointed in this direction. And I understand, too, I'm not giving them the division championship or anything. I'm not even saying they're going to beat Baltimore this weekend. I think you're going to see some of the best Steelers football late in a season coming up just because they've put in all of this work. It's all starting to kind of come back to them now. And there's some excitement after a win, but really you've got all the pieces that they've tried to put together for the last several seasons. I think it's finally coming together for them. And I think we're going to see an excellent team toward the end of the season. Let's see how long it takes them to get there. They're going to need to stay healthy, like anybody would. But they're on a good track. I think they have the ability to make some waves in the AFC.
I know that people will make a big deal about Deontay Johnson coming back. To me, the big deal is whether Kyle Hamilton's going to play. He actually is a legitimate NFL player. To me, that's the one to watch for in this, if Hamilton plays, because I guess his MRI came back and they got good news out of it. How about that? But I think that he's a critical part to everything we're watching.
Yeah, he's also a Strasser type of guy. They asked him to do a lot in the pass game and the run game. And as we've seen with Baltimore, they've struggled enormously in coverage. And it's not, in my opinion anyway, it hasn't been a physical thing nearly as much as a mental thing. Right. Guys are out of place. They're not getting lined up properly. This is, the back seven, not just the secondary. Really, all seven players involved with their coverage have been missing quite a bit. And some of that is the lack of Hamilton recently, not 100% status of Hamilton recently. But they're in a slump, and you don't really break slumps by having your best defensive player out. So that's a critical difference for them. Great all-around player, does a lot of things really well, probably more disruptive around the tackle box than anything else. He's probably at his best stopping, short passes, screens, flares, things like that, as well as your running game. And these are things the Steelers do quite a bit. So if he's playing, you have to assume he's good enough to get out there. You have to assume that he's going to be able to play. But I think they really need him out there. And everything you saw of that injury, everything that you've heard, he's not really going to be around 100%. So maybe that helps with something a little bit. I'm sure the Steelers are going to try to challenge him. But he's a good player. He's going to make things happen as well. And you hope for the Steelers' sake they can figure out a way to make hay with him on the field. I'm not wishing for anybody to be injured, but without him in there, their defense is really in trouble.
Well, that's what Lamar Jackson is interesting. People don't realize what the NFC record is. I think he's lost one game to an NFC team. That was the game with the Giants, the one where Saquon did the hook slide at the two-yard line to put the game away. Because they don't see him all the time. So it's a very difficult guy to get ready for. The Steelers see him twice a year. Neil, he's always going to be a threat no matter what. But when you see somebody that often, you kind of get an idea of what he does, why he does it, where he wants to go, what angle he does it at, and I think it makes a big difference.
I think if we were just to look at records and performances to evaluate a quarterback, I think what your theory holds water. I remember we talked about this last year as well. Jackson play the NFC. They don't see him as much. I think there's a certain level of fear that sets in. He's such a game-breaking player, along with the idea that they're not used to the subtlety of his game, how he's being called, where he's going. Because with speed and quickness like his, there's a massive difference between he's attacking through A-gap versus B-gap versus the sideline. He has a tendency in certain times to do certain things. I feel that's true because if you flip it around, the Steelers have seen him as much as anybody. Now, he's been hurt a few games here and there, but they've played him plenty often. And he doesn't tend to do a whole lot. You remember last year, I think it was the game in Pittsburgh because Trubisky lost the one in Baltimore. But the one in Pittsburgh, I don't know what happened to him in the second half, but he was horrible. I mean, he made a lot of really bad decisions, physical mistakes, turned the ball over, poor decisions, and it clearly an inferior Steelers team won the game largely because Jackson just I melted down. I don't know what happened to him. It's always seemed like you put the two coaches against each other, John Harbaugh versus Mike Tomlin. There's a level of enthusiasm there from one coach, maybe not so much from the other. It's a bit more steely and a bit more, contained. Harbaugh has always seemed to kind of live with the highs and the lows a lot. And it really has always felt to me like they can't get over the idea of just putting the screws to the Steelers. They've wanted to. They've had the ability to do that. And then it seems like they force themselves into mistakes. And they've done that so much lately. I wonder how much of that is put onto Jackson. Jackson feels like you got to beat the Steelers. This is the team that you need to show everybody that you can do this against. I remember laughing a while ago when they lose again to the Chiefs, and everybody in their locker room was talking about how the Chiefs are their kryptonite. It's like, no, you need to be Superman to have a kryptonite, okay? They're Superman. I don't know what you are. You're a rock to them. You don't beat them. You're not on their level. The Steelers are the Ravens' kryptonite if they are Superman. If you're looking at it in that way, the Steelers beat the Ravens consistently, and Jackson in particular plays poorly. And a large part of it is they confuse him. They don't see what he's doing. A couple of years ago, I remember the first play of the game, the first pass he threw, Robert Spillane picked him off back for a touchdown. Robert Spillane doesn't intercept passes, let alone return pick sixes on Lamar Jackson. He makes mistakes like that. And I don't know if it's something, breaks down that they're not understanding or seeing. But, here's a project. This is what we should do. Let's go back and watch the film. Count the amount of Lamar Jackson sideline helmet throws he's had against the Steelers. It's got to be a dozen by now. They've frustrated him. They don't hit him as much because nobody really hits him. He does not throw the ball particularly well, and they don't give up much on the ground. That said, we could see him drop 41 with Lamar, another 158-3 rating game, 200 rushing yards on Sunday. He's that good of a player. But the Steelers have had his number lately, and I wonder how much of that is there's a lack of intimidation coming from the Steelers because they have seen him as often as they have, whereas other teams, still kind of cycling through, they haven't quite gotten to that point yet.
No, they haven't. My friend, thanks so much. I slipped in Deontay Johnson's name just for a couple laughs, but appreciate you as always.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulong joining us this half hour, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. We have not just an insurance need. We all have multiple insurance needs. Well, they take care of them all and do everything they can to save you money. A Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right, back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sun, ride with the sun, Sunbury Motors.
Hi. I'm Kyle Mertz, and I am the sun. Let's see where Sunbury Motors can save you the most money in the small SUV segment. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has unbelievable finance rates that will save you thousands in interest payments. Choose from over 50 new Hyundai Tucsons with 0% financing for 48 months or 1.99% for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Ford has $4,000 off plus 0% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Escapes and $4,100 off plus 3.9% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Bronco Sports. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf has incredible savings on 2025 Kia Sportages. Save over $1,500 plus get 1.9% APR for 60 months on 24 in-stock Sportages to choose from. So, what's the takeaway here? Sunbury Motors will save you the most money on your next small SUV, whether you're interested in over 50 in-stock Hyundai Tucsons, Ford Escapes, or Bronco Sports, or a new Kia Sportage.